Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have the privilege of welcoming Gary Bauer, former presidential candidate. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be with you. It's always good to talk to you.
Sure. Now, what we want to do is talk about Trump and sexual harassment and this, the new revelations from a couple weeks ago about, some things that Trump said that were inexcusable about 11 years ago.
Well, yes, that appears to now be the most important issue facing America, and I'm not making light of something that's obviously serious, but it does seem to me that whatever one thinks of Donald Trump, it is certainly unusual that 30 days, 35 days, I guess, when this all started, before a very consequential presidential election, that suddenly Donald Trump is being charged with sexual harassment, with lewd comments on a tape, which he doesn't deny but has apologized for, but is also, being accused of being a racist and so forth and so on. There's a little bit of deja vu in all this because I was chairman of the Citizens Committee to confirm Clarence Thomas. Back in, I now forget the exact year, when he was nominated to
1991.
There you go, 1991. And, of course, he went through the same thing. Now, I'm not comparing the two men, but this is not new as a method of warfare against conservatives or those that challenge the establishment.
You know, it's amazing that you bring up Clarence Thomas, because even if the things he supposedly, allegedly did, which I don't believe. In fact, I remember I followed that really closely, and it turns out that Anita Hill, his accuser, was following him from job to job and, like a groupie or something. And so, anyway, and here he supposedly was this harasser of a sexual nature. But even if it were true, it was absolutely nothing compared to Bill Clinton. Things that Bill Clinton did that could be established in a court of law. I mean, that's part of the whole thing that the Star report came out with, basically showed that Bill Clinton lied under oath, but then the left just dismissed it because, well, he lied under oath. Yeah, but it was about sex. Oh, I see. So you can lie under oath, even if it's just about sex and it doesn't matter. But if it were something about politics, then it would matter or something like that. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one that doesn't get it, but unfortunately, I think that some people of faith, some evangelicals, are very confused about all this and very disappointed. But I think are not, in some cases, and I don't want to knock my fellow believers. Everybody needs to pray and sort their way out of things like this. But I think some people are just not bringing some wisdom to the table. First of all, I knew Clarence Thomas, and I believed him, too. When these charges were made, I asked him directly, and he assured me they were incorrect. But there was a very attractive accuser, Anita Hill, a professional woman, very well-spoken. She had details. The hearings were excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to this day to believe Clarence Thomas, but I'll take a little bit of a different take on it. Even if what she said was true, which I don't believe it was,
mm-hmm.
Clarence Thomas was put on the Supreme Court and for the last 25 years has defended the sanctity of life, religious liberty, the Constitution of the United States. His vote has been the deciding vote in multiple things that were incredibly important to the body of Christ and to men and women of faith in America.
And to American freedom.
And exactly, to American freedom. Or would Christians say that, if those things are true, I wouldn't have wanted him on the Supreme Court? I mean, for crying out loud, David, and you're a better theologian than I am, Jerry. I don't even play one on TV, but David, I believe, was called by our Lord, or by God, as, you're the apple of my eye. David lusted after a man's wife and sent that man to the front lines of a war hoping that he would be killed. I mean, I think there's a theological problem here. I don't believe any candidate that Christians in America have ever voted for is anything other than a sinner. Hmm. Every candidate that has ever run for president on any ballot is a sinner. Every voter that voted for them or against them are sinners. That's why there's a cross that Jesus had to hang on. So you're always voting between the choice of two evils. You're always choosing between two sinners, and every voter that chooses is a sinner. That's why I continue to say that at the end of the day, it's the policies that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Does somebody believe we as Christians ought to have religious liberty? He says he does. I see no reason to believe that he's lying about it. In just the last couple of days, we have got emails of her staff plotting how they're going to attack the Catholic Church and evangelicals to get us to get rid of our backward thinking on things like the sanctity of life and the definition of marriage. I just think that we just need to be a lot more wise like serpents, which I don't see a lot of right now.
It does seem as if the evangelicals, for the most part, that Trump has weathered this storm from the evangelical part of the country, for the most part.
I think that's right. Of course, we're getting terribly lambasted about it, but I think the last figures I saw is that maybe there's a 6 or 7 point drop off, and of course, even that is very damaging in a closely divided country. And by the way, folks, if you're one of those people listening that just can't stomach what you think Donald Trump has done, the purpose of these allegations was exactly what you're experiencing. I mean, what this is all about is the suppression of the religious vote in America for Trump and the suppression of any woman's vote for Trump in this election.
Okay, you wrote, and this is in your end of the day, end of day report, and this is from Thursday, October 13th. Imagine for a moment that Hillary Clinton wins and becomes president. Let me give you some idea of what we will be facing in the next 4 years. Go ahead, wax eloquent.
Well, yes, I don't have the list right in front of me, but there's no exaggeration here that they will attempt to force all Americans and all institutions, including religious institutions, religious employers, ministries, to pay for abortion and promote abortion. That they've already tried to do that. They sued the Little Sisters of the Poor. They brought the whole weight of the federal government to try to get nuns to promote abortion. Mm. You can pretty well guess what they're going to do to evangelical pastors and churches and so forth. They will come down on Christian elementary and secondary schools and Christian universities and require them, if they're going to provide student housing, to provide student housing for gay couples, for transgenders, etc. You will see another massive move to make illegal and unconstitutional religious clubs on campuses. You will see the end of the chaplain system as we know it in the United States military. For 8 years now, there's been a war on Christianity going on in the U.S. military, being driven by Barack Obama and his appointees at the Pentagon. It will be continued by Hillary Clinton. They will either get rid of you if you're a chaplain, unless you bend your will. And if you bend your will, that means you're not going to be able to give a biblical message. You will have to give a left-wing, politically correct message when soldiers and sailors and Marines come to you for counseling. The list goes on and on and on. If you're a Christian man, a father or a husband, and you believe you have a moral obligation to protect your family, and you live in an area where you're a little worried about crime on the street or there's been home invasions, whatever it is, and you want to own a firearm, I will guarantee you that Hillary Clinton will not leave office before she has gutted the Second Amendment. And she's lying about it. She goes, oh, I'm for the Second Amendment. But we know the kind of judges she's going to be putting on the court. The judges Barack Obama has put on all intend and are trying to gut the Second Amendment. We won that case by one vote. That one vote, unfortunately, is in his grave, Justice Scalia. When or if she's elected, that vacancy will be filled with either the current nominee or somebody that she puts up. The Second Amendment will be gone. So we're dealing here with human frailties and with a man that has said some things he clearly were offensive. This is not an evangelical. He doesn't claim to be one. And you have to measure that against the fact that his opponent is one of the major leaders of a movement in this country that has led the debasement of our culture. She intentionally tried to ruin the women that had the courage to step up and identify Bill Clinton and what he did to them. The media is completely ignoring those stories. So this is really an important moment. And I would argue, Jerry, that this may be the last election that we have a chance to elect somebody that will try to defend our values, even if that individual hasn't always himself lived by our values.
But what's so amazing, though, about this, Gary, is that despite all that's at stake, I see some Christians who are saying, look, I am choosing the higher ground here. I just can't support a candidate like Trump. And I think it's hypocritical for Christians to support or to support him when 20 years ago they castigated Bill Clinton for his character flaws, which became known, you know, the Monica Gate and all that stuff.
Well, look, I mean, the situations here are quite different. President Clinton in the Oval Office of the United States was doing things that I can't talk about on Christian radio, but it's all on the record, to a young woman that was under his charge. This young woman, 20 years old at the time, I believe, was working for him. He then went on, when a court case developed, he lied under oath. So he committed perjury. That's what the impeachment effort was about. It was about the fact that nobody, including a president of the United States, is allowed to lie under oath. That's an impeachable offense. So, I mean, I think in that sense, it's a little different. But look, I've heard this, you know, Christians can't get in bed, figuratively speaking, with somebody that, you know, does evil things or whatever. And I would say to those people, well, then the United States, as a somewhat Christian nation, and we had a Christian president during most of World War II, should we not have sided with the Soviet Union, godless communists, to defeat Nazism?
And Japan.
That would have been insane if we would have said to Russia, sorry, you're a godless communist. My faith doesn't allow me to cooperate with you or work out strategy with you. No, we looked at that and said, look, at the greater evil of the two at the time were the Nazis, and whoever is willing to stand with us, we will fight them. And when we defeated the Nazis, then we turned our attentions to godless communism. I mean, it is a fallen world. If we're going to be involved in the world,
that's a good point.
We will have to make choices in things like politics differently than we would if we were picking our pastor or our Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, you know, this reminds me of that old phrase, politics makes strange bedfellows. I'm reminded, you know, in the movie Amazing Grace about Wilberforce. It's interesting that Wilberforce's 50-year-long campaign against slavery, first the slave trade and then slavery within the entire British Empire. First, though, he had to do it, in a sense, baby steps. You know, he had to work with some people he didn't agree with on certain things, and he kind of had to do it piecemeal. He couldn't get it all done all at once, but he did do it, you know, in the course of his lifetime by the grace of God.
Well, that's a great analogy, and you know, since a lot of our fellow believers are citing the Bible, let's take a quick look at the Bible. I mean, the Bible is full of believing men and women who advised wicked kings and were supposed to. They, God put them in a position to give advice and counsel to kings that often wanted to do evil things. And Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not exactly a guy you would want dating your daughter or handling your finances. But Daniel was exactly where God wanted him to be. So I just think that time and time again, when you vote for Donald Trump, you're not endorsing his sins. You're not endorsing the things that he did wrong that he, in his own words, wishes he could call back, wishes that he hadn't done. You may remember this, Jerry. When Ronald Reagan ran for office for president, he was running against
Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter was an evangelical Southern Baptist. Knew the
Sunday
Bible,
school teacher.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But Ronald Reagan was a divorced Hollywood star. And Christians overwhelmingly voted for Ronald Reagan over the guy that clearly, I mean, if we just go on the basis of what he believes about Jesus and so forth, will end up being in heaven. So, I mean, is it possible that we're not being as sophisticated today as we were all the way back in 1980?
Excellent point. Yeah, and you used to work for Ronald Reagan, and then were yourself a former presidential candidate. Gary, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate
it. Great to be with you, Jerry.
AmericanValues.org for more information. All right.